So last week we started a community inquiry around practice. We looked at, read the poem Tree from Jane Hirschfield. And actually, it's just such a beautiful poem. I think I'm just going to read it again now in case you missed it last week. It's one well worth considering. It is foolish to let a young redwood grow next to a house. Even in this lifetime, you will have to choose. That great calm being, this clutter of soup and pots. Already the first branch tips brush at the window, softly, calmly, immensity taps at your life. That so beautifully names one of the deepest joys to me of this practice. If we allow this young redwood of practice to take root next to our flimsily constructed house that we call a quote unquote good life, it will uproot that. It is inevitable. Softly, calmly, immensity taps at your life. So, last week in our small group practice, we looked at inquiries around what drives you in this practice to plant that run young redwood right next to your house. What's your intention? What's your, some of your deepest, best, clearest intentions, i.e., best good wishes for your own self that you want room to grow? And the second part of that inquiry was, okay, so you know what your deepest, best wish is. How are you practicing with it? How are you incorporating this into your daily life, into the weave of your existence, the fabric of this flowing moment now? And what I thought we would do today is look at the other side of that, which is the challenges. And in the meditation, I started to quote from a poem of Rumi, Bird Wings, and I don't have it here. And I tried to look it up real quick, and of course, it didn't come up. So this is my poor paraphrase of the poem. The part that this whole is coming up to me the most is your hand opens and closes, opens and closes. If it were always open, or if it were always a fist, it would be paralyzed. Your deepest growth is in the opening and the closing. Much like the two bird wings that allow the bird to fly. So, of course, we need to acknowledge and have room for both sides of practice. What's the side that is just naturally opening? And then what's the side that is just darn challenging? And is the upstream work of this practice in our culture. So, some ways I think of challenges as coming in two sorts of directions. And this is a very pathetic analogy, but it's just the one that's coming up for me at the moment. It's kind of like vegetables. You know they're healthy for you. You know they're good for you. And sometimes they're really good. Like you eat them and you're like, ah, I made that whole bunch of kale and it was gone because something in it was just nourishing in this moment. That's kind of the practice of last week. When you look at that kale and you go, oh, what a relief. My body needs this. And I just eat it all up. But aren't there other times you look at the kale and you think, I'd rather have chocolate cake. I don't know if you heard Renard's comment, all the time. So, you know, some of the challenge is, yeah, I'd rather binge on Netflix and sit and watch my breath. Nothing's wrong with watching my breath, but Netflix just is more alluring at the moment. So there's that side of the allure. And our culture just throws the allure in our face all the time and says, this is where the goods are. Like, make your life pleasant and good and buy this or watch this or consume this and things will be the good life. There is just like overwhelming enticement always coming at us. So that's one side of the challenge. How do we start to see through the allure? No matter how much chocolate cake we eat, there ultimately always is a point that is empty, that it doesn't actually nourish. But there's a real practice in seeing through that. So that's one side. The other side of the challenge, I think it's more kind of what Renard was naming. It's not that you look at the kale and you think, yeah, that would be good, but look at that chocolate cake. It's that you look at the kale and you go, yuck. If I have to eat that, I might vomit. And aren't there times that that's what it's like too? I remember when I very first started practicing, to sit down was, to sit in meditation, it was about as pleasant as scratching my fingernails on a chalkboard. It was really, really just hard. There was a level of aversion and resistance built up in my system to turning towards what was going on at the root of my life. That everything in me was on this run away, go the other direction. So we need to know what kind of challenge we're working with moment by moment with the practice, because they both have valid and real and different needs. So in your small group today, you don't have to do like the overarching theme of your life, but just like if you were to pick one challenge that was workable with, that like this one's not the one that I need deep trauma therapy over. Or if you do, like you're just naming, I need deep trauma therapy, and you're not trying to do it at home by yourself doing meditation. You're actually doing what our nervous systems are designed to do and get outside support and help. Like you're gonna go do that. But for here, what's one challenge, one small challenge that's interesting and accessible to consider? Is it more about a challenge coming up that's more about clinging to something else? Like, I really just wanna sit on the sofa and watch Netflix. Or is it about, ooh, that brings up stuff for me that is uncomfortable. And then when you think about whatever your challenge is, what's a creative way of working with it? And remember, I'm talking about pick one small workable one. If it is every time I sit, I want to bounce out of my seat, but I really want to be practicing. Okay, so maybe the creative possibility is my meditation right now is walking meditation. Maybe it's actually getting my dog and going to James Boyce and walking in the woods. And that's beautiful movement practice. Maybe it's yoga. Maybe it's that I need more times that I'm sitting with others, that it's fine when I sit with others, but on my own, no. So I find a Zoom group when I'm at home to sit with, or a right guidance. You know, it doesn't really matter what it is. You figure out the edge that makes it workable and allow yourself the freedom to move in that direction. A lot of times those edges are, I think if I'm a good meditator, it should look like this. If I can't do 30 minutes of sitting absolutely still on a cushion every day, then I might as well not bother. Yeah, so, you know, is the challenge the story of what it would look like to have some formal practice in your life? And maybe you need to toss the story and come up with something different. Maybe it is that you're more about integrating it throughout your day instead of that formal practice. So those are the kinds of things I'm going to invite us all to consider as we inquire together. So coming into your mountain pose, feeling the gravity connecting and rooting the entire body from the top of the head all the way through, down to the bottoms of the feet into the earth below. And from this rooting down, notice how that is what allows the mountains to reach skyward. Feeling that natural energetic counterbalance lifted towards the sky. And then when you're ready, in your own time, your own pace, begin moving in a very slow walking meditation. In whatever direction, we're obviously in a little bit of a small space, so just commingle and know that each of us can navigate around each other just fine. But I do invite you to stay in the room. Take the time to feel the body. Feel the feet moving on the floor. The shifting of weight across the hips. And then wherever you are, just pausing right there. And let yourself consider, what's a challenge that's coming up for me in my practice that I want to work with? Not your biggest, one small workable challenge. And if there is a big one, bookmark it. Let it know that you're going to give it some consideration too. You'll come back. Is the challenge more about, it's just easier to do something else? There's a habit in a different direction? is it more about some internal resistance that doesn't want to go there, that needs your care and your attention? Now imagine you being fully grounded in your best intention, your deepest, best wish for yourself. Your own best friend that actually can hold your hand and look at this challenge with you together. Maybe this best friend, wiser self you, can say something like, yeah, it's going to be messy and that's okay, but let's try this. And whatever step you're going to take forward is a compassionate step of healing. What might that be? Feel into whatever came up for you. Learning to embrace instead of rue our challenges as the door to our freedom. That's when things get interesting. And how do we let curiosity and compassion be our best friends as we turn towards? So take a moment to envision whatever challenge you named for yourself. And feel and see yourself working with it in a different way. Visualize this. Not just with your eyes, but feeling it in your body. And as you do this, feel that deepest, best wish of care for you. And also, know you will not do this perfectly. The hand opens and closes and opens and closes. There is a natural rhythm to being available to pulling back, being available to being pulling back. That's not a problem. May we all of us everywhere, feel into the healing grace inherent in every small challenge and big. This is what we are meant to reckon with. It's not what's in the way. This is the way. May all of us know the healing and care. Open to each of us everywhere. Thank you. Lovely being with you all.